God, there is that river of God's anointing, and we're going to talk about it today. Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are so glad that you are joining us today. It never, ever gets old for me. We love to be here in the studio live with you every Sunday afternoon. And this is a hot one in Clearwater, Florida today, isn't it, Engineer Bill? It's kind of warm out there, and it's kind of like one of those good old Florida beach days, you know?
90s.
90s, yes, it is. But you were certainly grooving a minute ago in there when that song was going on that Brother Chip was playing.
Yeah,
you were like...
Brother Chip has been, he's been twin spinning for Jesus there. You know, they're great gospel songs as I drive in.
Right. They're really good, aren't they? Yeah.
I like them.
Twin spinning. All right. So, cool. We're just glad to be with you today. We love this opportunity to bring you some great music. Most of ours is pretty contemporary, but it's really good stuff. Sometimes we throw in some other styles, but great chat. We're going to have one of our radio team join us in a little while. And I was supposed to have Brother Nathan in the studio here today, but he is ill today. And so we are going to send a shout out to Brother Nathan and tell him that we've been praying for him and believe in God for his total healing. And he's been down for a few days, not very well. So we thank God that he's going to get better even right now during this show. And we are believing God for total, complete healing and restoration for his body. So, and some of you out there listening to us today may be ill. You may be going through some emotional battles or some physical battles. And we just want you to know that God is right here today, ready to meet your needs. And you have tuned in for a reason, because God has some things he wants to do in your life today. And it's not okay to just stay the same way we always are. You know, life changes. You know, life is flexible. Change happens. It's part of life, isn't it? And just for example, some days you feel better than other days, right? But what God wants to do in your life is that you develop a consistency with him, where even when you're feeling bad physically, perhaps, that you know that your strength is found in God and you are relying on the word of God to see you through whatever circumstance comes your way. So whatever is going on in your life today, whether you are listening to this live or whether you catch it on our website in a few days or a year, doesn't matter. Whenever you catch it, it is just for you. And we are thrilled to be able to put all of our radio shows on our website, which is www.beaconofhopeministries. It ends in IES, beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can go there usually by Monday noonish, something like that, after a show on Sunday. It is up on our website, and it stays up. It doesn't expire. So we've got a lot of shows on our website. And all of 2010 is there, and everything in 2011, so you can catch up, and it gives you a great opportunity to learn the Word. We teach practical Christian living at Beacon of Hope, and we want you to have an opportunity to grow stronger in God, and that's why we spend this time. And that's why we spend the money for the airtime, because we believe that God has given us a word for this hour, a word of hope and restoration, a word of healing, a word that will come into your life and bless you and change your life and cause you to get stronger in God. That is what it's all about. And so we teach a very down-to-earth application type word of God on this show. And if this is one of the first times you've ever joined us, the whole idea is to get to spark conversation, to spark you thinking, to get you to get in your Bible and find things and research and learn the word of God, because it's the word of God that sustains us through the dark times of our lives. And we all have those. We all have had times where we have serious questions, and maybe we have doubt going on, or maybe we have despair, discouragement. Maybe there's something you are facing today that you just don't see any way out of your situation, and you don't know what to do. Believe me, God does know what to do about your situation. He does have the answer for you, and he does want to move in your life even today during these next couple hours of this show. You have plenty of time to call, invite a friend, ask them to join you in listening today to Living the Good Life. And so we're so glad you've joined us. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can actually go to www.tantalk1340.com. Tantalk1340.com. And we are video streamed, live streamed right now. And so it's a great reception on the internet, and it might be easier for you if you're carrying around your laptop or whatever. So a lot of times the computer gives us a better reception. But we are so glad to be on the station. So God bless each of you today. Let's pray together, and then we're going to get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bring the Word of God, your Word, to people no matter where they are in around this globe. We thank you, Lord, that there are some that will hear these words of life today and will receive strength and will receive hope and healing in their bodies. We thank you, Lord, that there are some that even though they are struggling right now with difficult problems and decisions, that you will speak to their heart today as this show progresses, and that you will give them a word, something that they need to hear that is going to open their eyes to their situation and open their eyes to their answers. And so, God, we know that you care about every detail of the life of each of our lives. You care about what concerns us. So, Lord, I just ask you right now to do that very thing, to speak to our listeners in a profound, anointed way during the next couple hours. Let them hear your voice to them. And that is our desire. That is our goal. And so, because we believe you have heard our prayer and you answer our prayer, then we can praise you right now before we ever go forward in this show. We can praise you in advance for the answers that are happening. You get the glory. You get the thanks, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you for each listener. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to kick off the show with a song that Nathan Burton, our own keyboard player, Nathan Burton, minister of music at Beacon of Hope, has recorded a CD a few years back, Beacon Songs of Praise, and you can actually get those on that CD on our website. This is one of the songs on that CD, and he calls it Push, P-U-S-H, Pray Until Something Happens.
Keep on praying, pray until something happens. Keep on praying, and knowing he will answer too. Keep on praying, pray until something happens. Don't give up, don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying, pray until something happens. Keep on praying, pray until something happens. Keep on praying, and knowing he will answer too. Keep on praying, pray until something happens. Don't give up, don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying, pray until something happens.
Don't give up,
don't give up, don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying, pray until something happens.
Don't give up,
don't give up, don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying, pray until something happens.
Hallelujah.
That's Broadway musical
isn't
style.
Isn't that cool? That's a different style of his, isn't it? I like that. That's really cool.
I like it.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great song. Pray until something happens. He calls that push. You know, push right into the things of God to get your answers. And some of you today need to pray until something happens, to be persistent and consistent with your prayer life and just get in there and believe God. And it's a great segue to Acts chapter 1. So if you have your Bible with me, with you, join me in Acts chapter 1. And we've been talking about the day of Pentecost for the last couple weeks here on Living the Good Life. And actually, on the Jewish calendar, today is the celebration of the day of Pentecost. And it was on the day of Pentecost that the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit occurred for the first time. And so let's go to Acts chapter 1 for a moment. And let's read a few verses to remind you of where we are. And about starting, about verse 3 of Acts chapter 1. Luke is writing the book of Acts, and after his suffering, he's talking about Jesus, he showed himself to these men, which is his disciples, and he gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, from the day of Jesus' resurrection on until this particular day was about 40 days. And during that time, Jesus would come through the wall and start talking to the disciples when they were having a meeting, or he would appear to them and eat dinner with them. There's just a whole lot of instances where he did this during these 40 days. And what was he doing? He had a purpose. During those 40 days, he was teaching about the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not about what you eat or what you drink. It is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. Righteousness, which means right standing with God, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus was teaching the disciples was a lot of truths concerning how to walk in righteousness, how to walk in peace, how to walk in joy. Now, on this one occasion when he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to talk more today about that baptism in the Holy Spirit and the changes that occur in our lives when we willingly say, God, I want you, Jesus, to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. So the disciples, basically, Jesus gave them an assignment, and he says, here's what's going to happen. I want you to wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. Hang on. I want you to pray and believe because the Holy Spirit is coming. And then let's go on down a few verses to verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates, because one of the disciples said, wait a minute, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Again, they still had their minds on political issues instead of the spiritual kingdom of God. And Jesus responds in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1, it's not for you to know the times and the dates that the Father is set by his own authority. But I love Acts 1:8. So if you have your Bible, if you're driving down the road, you don't need to look. You can look later. It says this: you will receive power. Power. You will receive power. And if you take notes, write that down. That word power there in the original Greek is dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And it means a dynamite. You're going to receive that kind of power, like a keg of dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And here's what's going to happen. Okay, two things. You're going to receive power like dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then something else is going to happen. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Whoa. Two huge promises, Jesus says in Acts 1:8. They don't just apply to the disciples that were he was talking to that day. They also apply to all of us since those disciples. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus promised them. And it's very clear here in Acts chapter 1. And here's the two things you get when you receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said you receive the power keg, the dunamis, the dynamite. Okay. And here's what you're going to do with that dynamite on the inside of you. That power, that ability, there's going to be a reason for it. You're not just getting that power keg on the inside of you to show off in some way. He says, no, here's what you're going to do with it. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here's what we're to do with the power keg that we get when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are to go and do the work of the Lord with that power source. And he says, you will be my witnesses. And then after this, we see the rest of this next few verses that he has taken up into the sky, that the clouds received him and he ascended back to his Father. This is in Acts 1, about verses 10 and 11. That's what happened right there. Now we go over to Acts chapter 2 and we find out that the Holy Spirit does do what Jesus said he's going to do. Remember, Jesus said actually I need to remind you of this verse. Back in John chapter 1, the day that Jesus walked towards John the Baptist, as John the Baptist is baptizing people in the Jordan River, as he is coming close to him, then John the Baptist looks on him, and I'm about verse 32, I believe, in John chapter 1. John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. Who? Jesus. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. So God the Father had put it in John the Baptist's heart to baptize with water. Now, the difference between baptism with water and baptism with the Holy Spirit is that water is an outward sign of an inward change. It symbolizes you becoming saved. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the next level, and it symbolizes you receiving the power to do exploits for God. And so John the Baptist says here that the one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he also goes on to say in verse 34 of John chapter 1, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. That was John the Baptist's witness that as he baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2. As he baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, that was the first step, the first baptism, and it was the baptism for repentance of sin. And now we know that from any of us can baptize in water. In fact, we're getting ready to have a big baptism in water on the morning of July 4th out at the Causeway. And we do that periodically, a picnic and a water baptism. And we're going to do that so people that want to be water baptized can have that done that day. Any of us can baptize in water. It's an outward sign to others that we've changed on the inside, that we belong to Jesus. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the baptizer. That's why John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Very plain, very clear in John chapter 1 that we just read. So now we're in Acts chapter 2, and the day of Pentecost arrives. Now, from the day that Jesus said, wait here in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere, have a prayer meeting, stay together here, don't do anything, don't leave, don't disperse, I've got a work for you to do. There was a 10-day span of time, 10 days that the disciples and a lot of the women that traveled with them stayed together. And if you look at Acts chapter 1, I know I told you 2, but let's go to Acts 1:14 a minute. They agreed as far after Jesus said, hey, I want you to stay here in unity, praying, because the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. And it says in Acts 1:14, they agreed and they were in this for good. I love that in the Message Bible. They agreed that they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. So the women also were included, and Jesus' mother. And we know from other scriptures there were about 120 of them who gathered in that place, probably the upper room, and had a prayer meeting every single day for 10 days. We don't know if it was around the clock prayer meeting or if it was just several hours. We don't know. But during that time, these 120, number one, committed to go the distance. They were in it for good, it says, completely together in prayer. That is Acts 1:14. And let me read it in the NIV here. They all joined together constantly, it says, in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So they were together and they were devoted and they were committed. Okay. So now we go to Acts chapter 2. We go to verse 1, and it's 10 days later. They've been having a 10-day prayer meeting. And during that 10 days, of course, where's Jesus? He's already ascended to the Father. He's no longer on earth. And when the day of Pentecost, now Penta means five, if you know your prefixes, Penta means five. So it had been 50 days since the resurrection of Jesus now. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. See, they had continued to meet constantly, just like Jesus had asked them to do. I love Acts 2:2. Suddenly, wow, I love that word. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Wow, a sound. Now, in the Message Bible, listen to this. It says this in Acts 2, starting with verse 1. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And that is cool.
Even a weather expert didn't know what was going
on. That's right. You're exactly right, Bill. There was no way. They had no clue this was coming, you know? They were just waiting on God for some promise of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know what form it would take. You're right. I think the weather experts of that day probably didn't have this at all figured out, because this was supernatural. Because Acts 2:2, suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind, I think it sounded probably like a hurricane coming through and a tornado, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, if you go on in the next couple of verses, you see that a lot of people were there in town from other countries and other cities, because it was the Feast of Pentecost. So they came to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And there were a lot of different languages that were represented during that big feast. And it's very interesting that the tongues of fire were kind of hovering above the heads of all these 120. And they began to speak in other languages, speaking in tongues. And I love verse 11 of Acts 2, because it says that the people in all these other cultures and languages that were around heard all these different languages, because I believe that these 120 ran out in the street as they heard this. And then they probably looked up at each other and they go, whoa, and there's these tongues of fire on top of their heads. And now they are praising God in a language that was not their native language of Aramaic. They were not speaking what they normally would have been speaking, because it says here that all of these different people that were there, and we're in about verse 10 or 11 of Acts 2, Parthians, Medes, and all these visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and all these other places, they were hearing them speaking their own language. And what is cool, what they were hearing was they were describing God's mighty works. And so they had been given the gift of tongues, and they were suddenly speaking what God had was giving them to speak. But interestingly enough, no matter what language they were speaking, they were all describing God's mighty works. Wow, wow, wow. Now, I don't know about you, but that is total life-changing. We are talking about disciples who had the normal human emotions of confusion, anxiety, fear. Their master Jesus had just been crucified about 53 days before. He had gone to the cross. They didn't understand that. Then he came out of the tomb, a risen Lord, 3 days later. And how confusing was that? And how surprising and amazing that their master, their leader, Jesus, was now walking around for 40 days, coming through walls and having prayer meetings with them and eating dinner with them. And in one occasion, he was cooking fish for the disciples on the beach one morning when they came in with their boats. I mean, he was busy. Jesus was busy going about and spending time with them and showing up at odd times, but always showing up right on time. And that's one of the themes that we want to talk about today, because this is divine timing. This is perfect timing. Jesus died on the cross exactly at 3 o'clock on the day of Passover. He was the Passover lamb. And the Jews were in Jerusalem that day to celebrate the Passover. And Jesus became the Passover lamb by going to the cross exactly on time. Hear me on this. We're going to talk about this for this whole show. On time. Jesus was on time. He didn't sit around saying, I'll wait a few years maybe and maybe do this. I don't know. No, Jesus fulfilled the will of his heavenly Father exactly on time. Went to the cross on time, died exactly at 3 o'clock on Passover day. He was the Passover lamb, and then came out of the tomb 3 days, 3 nights later. He came out of that tomb, a risen Lord, and then for 40 days, and 40 is the number of trial and tribulation and wilderness experience. And you remember how many days it rained for Noah? 40 days, 40 nights. How many days did Jesus go out into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan, and he fasted 40 days? Moses led the children of Israel around the mountain 40 years. All those things, 40 is the number of kind of trial, tribulation, wilderness time. Jesus walked this earth around his disciples, showing up at odd times, and of course we know right on time, when he could do the most good with his disciples. When they were meeting together, when maybe they were in the middle of a discussion, Jesus showed up right on time, and he did that for 40 days. Then he had them tarry in the upper room and pray to receive the Holy Spirit for 10 days. And then here we are on the day of Pentecost, exactly right on time, the Holy Spirit falls on them, giving them the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the speaking of tongues. And that's where we're going to bring Carol in. I think she just called in, didn't you?
I just sneaked right on in there.
Woo, how about that? Did you get all that chronology? And
I sure did. I have a page full of notes.
And it's cool, isn't it? How, you know, I stressed this morning at Beacon of Hope. And by the way, Carol, we're sorry that you, we're sorry, but we're glad for you that you live in Georgia. We wish you had been with us this morning, but what a great service we had. And I was stressing this morning about God's divine timing in all of this. It is so perfect. So right on. You know what I'm talking about?
I certainly do. They're never, you know, there's a little song, I guess, that goes, he's always right on time. He's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time.
Right.
The thing we need to understand about God is that he knows time. He knows time as we know it, but he knows time as he knows it. And he lives in both of those worlds, time as we know it and time as he plans it and knows it. And there's always a moment when we are almost totally throwing in the towel,
right,
when he steps up.
Woo.
And it's all to his glory. He's not going to let us falter or fail if we believe him, trust him, have faith in him, and look to him for all the things that we need in our lives.
You know, that's interesting you just said that, Carol, because I really believe that God does so often let us get to that very last second or that last moment, and or we're hanging on to our rope and we feel like we're just about to lose our grip on our rope, and we're definitely going down for the count this time, you know. And maybe by now we're so frustrated with our situation that we're saying all kinds of negative stuff, and we're in fear or doubt or whatever. And it is amazing how he shows up at the right time. He's,
you know,
all about timing.
You,
yeah.
That
yes,
God
you
is
do.
Never out of sync with anything. A lot of times we don't know what's happening. We feel the deadline coming close,
right,
whatever it might be.
Right.
And we know like the deadline is just going to be a gnat's heel away.
Yeah.
But I have always figured out and finally learned to a truth that he does this because he's putting everything else in place. That one person that might be on a mortgage kind of holding it up and saying, I don't think this is going to work. He will work on that person's heart.
Yeah.
And it comes through at the very last second.
Isn't that the truth?
I remember when
yeah.
I worked for the school board in Polk County and had an injury issue. And it was just, things were just blocked at every single twist and turn.
Right.
And at various points, we would be in mediation. And the next thing I know, the person that had been in front of me previous was not there. They had been moved out. They were negative in my
uh-huh.
case.
Right.
He moved them out, and he had to tender someone else's heart,
uh-huh.
knowledge, to bring them in. So I have learned that in my humanness, my time is totally invaluable.
Well,
it's his time that really matters, and
yeah.
I've learned to sit and say, I don't understand the timing, but it's yours. I don't
exactly.
have to understand it. I have to accept it.
And that is where we learn total trust in God, Carol, because I think so often, like these disciples that were in the upper room for those 10 days, were they all figuring it out and going, ah, we're going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Or were they just like not even really aware of that? Simply like, what are we waiting on? We know Jesus said we were to wait for the Holy Spirit. When is he coming? I kind of think they were sitting around going, when is he coming? Do you think the Holy Spirit's coming today? I don't know that they were that aware.
Were going, did you see him yet? And you know, when you have 120 people in
yeah.
a room, you've got 120 different time frames, different
yeah.
thoughts, different actions, different whatevers.
Right.
And so they're all waiting. And don't you know they all want to be first?
Right.
See him and say, I saw him first. You know,
right.
he came to me first.
Right. And it's just interesting. The what if, it's today that we receive the Holy Spirit? And how's that going to change our lives? You know, I can just see them interacting like that together. And the what ifs, you know, wondering what's going to happen? What are we going to be like? Will we be changed or what? And I don't think they had any real clue of how different their lives were going to become after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is one thing I really want to talk about today. But let's get back to this timing point first, and then we'll go on with that. Because, Carol, I think this is a very valid point. These disciples and the women, about 120 of them, waited in the upper room for 10 days?
Don't you know it was getting a little rank?
Well, we assume they went home and took showers in between.
Well, you know, people being in a room for 120 days,
no, for 10 days,
not
yeah.
knowing really what to expect
yeah.
or how to expect it to come,
right.
that had to be a room filled with some interesting conversation.
Absolutely, don't you think? And I think the humanness is just natural that it would come out during those 10 days where they would be questioning, is this today? Have we missed it? What's it going to be like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's going to happen? I mean, if they weren't articulating those questions out loud, and that is one question I want to ask when I get to heaven. Carol, would you take a note and remind me when we get up there to ask those disciples? I want to know what that was like during those 10 days. I've always been kind of fascinated by that waiting time there, you know, that we all struggle with. So remind me, Carol, if I forget it when we get to heaven, will you?
I certainly will.
All right. But, you know, I'm just curious as to, they're humans, they're emotional people, they are. Are people that didn't have a lot of things explained to them. It was a step of faith. Such an interesting 10 days.
It was totally a step of faith because they didn't have, like you said, they didn't have anything. They didn't have a lot of material things
right.
to fall back on and hold as little treasures.
Right. Yeah.
They went there with a faith deep in their heart that this event would take place. They didn't realize how or when, but they realized in their heart, because he had told them, the Holy Spirit will come to you.
Right, exactly. And baptize you and give you power and you'll be my witnesses, you know?
Right.
I love what the Message Bible says there in Acts 1:14. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. And I had written in my Bible many years ago, committed, they were committed to go the distance. You know, they were like, okay, we're in this for good. I mean, however long it takes here in this upper room, we're sticking it out. I love that about Acts 1:14, Carol. It shows their commitment. It shows that they were determined to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, it's so reminiscent of the disciples of today, the people who go out and spread the word of Jesus Christ, who grow churches, who preach on street corners in little tiny villages that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
The people who educate in universities and schools, the people who go out as disciples today. It's amazing how much faith they have.
Right.
I have seen it. I've seen it in my own family. My cousin's husband, for instance, was just an okay guy, didn't have any great ambition to do anything. Her family wasn't too tickled she was going to marry him. And they were a very strong spiritual family. So when he showed up as a constant companion at their dinners and stuff, they began to wonder, is this going to go to something different?
Yeah.
Of course, it did. It led to marriage. Mm-hmm. And they kept their mouth shut. He had decent jobs, but no commitment to the jobs. And after going to church with them for the many years that he had dated her and the time that they had married, he had the Holy Spirit experience. And he became a missionary, he and her.
Wow.
Husband became missionaries to Australia.
Oh, wow.
And today he's preaching, a totally different man.
Right. Yes.
Holy Spirit fell on him, cured him of all his family's history and background, and brought him forth because the Holy Spirit chose him, saw him, knew him.
Whoa. Praise God. That is a great example of this, because we see, I appreciate you sharing that, we see all these disciples who had been, you know, like Peter denied Jesus 3 times, you know, and some of the rest of them hadn't been real strong either, you know, and ran away from the whole thing, you know, just had to get away. They were afraid of what was coming down or whether they would be accused or, you know, if it would be a lynch mob or what it was. They had experienced the normal emotional trauma associated with their leader going to a cross and being crucified. And so here, these are the very ones who are gathered together waiting, including the mother of Jesus. I love that it says that she was one of them.
Yeah.
And some of his brothers and sisters were there. And how they were sitting there in anticipation. What was God going to do here? What was this Holy Spirit experience going to be like? I love this. They were waiting in anticipation. Isn't that cool?
It is very cool. Don't you wonder sometimes what he talked to his mother about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much of God's wisdom did he personally impart to her?
Right.
That, you know, that strengthened her faith, that knew she had birthed this wonderful son who would save the world.
Right. Exactly.
The spirituality that he must have shared with his mother gave her the faith and the wisdom to sit and wait for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm sure he must have told her about it, but, you know, they never really understood it or knew what it was. You know, Luke says that the Holy Spirit is responsible for the rapid expansion of believers throughout the Roman Empire.
Amen.
And Paul says, Luke sees the Christian community as, like Luke did, Paul says that he sees the Christian community as charismatic, spirit-led and spirit-directed.
Yes, yes. And so
and
you're
you know,
right.
We talk about
yeah.
spirit. A lot of folks, I guess, when you say spirit-led and spirit-led, they don't realize it's Holy Spirit-led, Holy
yes.
Spirit.
Holy Spirit-led. And you know, by the fact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some of his brothers and sisters and a lot of the other women that traveled with them, they were all in that upper room for those 10 days. That means that Jesus had said, you know what, this is going to be well worth waiting on. You need to be there, you know?
Yep. You know, it would be kind of like we get a messenger today. And each person that is of God and knows God intimately gets a message,
right?
However it might arrive. It may arrive by telegram, it may arrive email, it may arrive word of mouth, a special delivery letter that says, go to this place.
Right, yeah.
And wait for 10 days.
Right.
You have been called to counsel, and you will be greatly blessed.
Yeah.
How many people do you think would actually go?
I don't think there'd be a whole lot, Carol, because everybody has so much going on in their lives, and they fear. The devil comes in with fear. Oh, you don't want to go do anything radical like go and pray for 10 days, you know.
Yep.
We have what we call a soaking prayer meeting night, the second Friday night of every month now at Beacon of Hope, and we just had it this past Friday night. And it's a 2 or 3 hour set time set aside to just go and pray and listen to God and listen to his voice and hear what he's saying to us. I usually have some good music and some other things going. But it's amazing to me that a lot of people don't want to do that, set aside a few hours. That's only 2 or 3 hours, let alone 10 days, where you just sit in the presence of Almighty God and wait on the falling of the Holy Spirit upon you. Whoa.
Now, wouldn't it be wonderful to accept that invitation?
Yes.
So sit and wait and say, you know, I read this in Scripture, and now it's my turn. I want to be there. I want to see what's going to happen.
Right. Oh, we're going to talk more about it because it is for today also. One of my favorite songs we played for years on this show. This is our 5th year on the radio. Bob Carlyle, Living Water.
As I'm lying here, alone in the dark, I hear your voice gently say, come to
praise God. I love that song. Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast in John chapter 7, verse 37. And it says this, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's what we've been talking about. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I made this point last week, and I want to make a quick point, and then we're going back to Carol's comments here, that up until the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all the people down through the ages, the prophets, the great teachers in the Word, David, Samson, Samuel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all these different ones all through your Old Testament, they had been visited by the Spirit of God. It was called a visitation culture. They had visits from God. There were times that they were particularly anointed to do a miracle, like Elisha. With the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, our culture changed from a visitation culture to a habitation culture, which means now that the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. He doesn't just visit us once in a while. He lives within us. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Wow. And Jesus stood and prophesied that in John chapter 7, that we would have rivers of living water, like this song just said that we just played, coming up and out of us. Carol, what does that living water do for us?
Living water gives us a promise and a hope of a better tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
A place that we know that if we make our total commitment to Jesus Christ,
yeah,
that we will live again.
Right.
While we may die an earthly death, we will live again.
Amen.
And we will live in peace and harmony. And we will live in peace and wisdom and love when we go to heaven. And everything will be made. All the promises that are in Scripture will come forth for those of us that enter into heaven's gates and stay there.
Oh, amen. So,
and it's to me, when you study the human body and you study anatomy and physiology and any of the biological sciences, you will begin to realize how strong the need for water is.
It is, isn't it? We have to have it, don't we, physically?
Yeah, the human body is about 96%
water, which is amazing, isn't it?
You know, and when we use the metaphor for water being the Spirit of Jesus Christ,
yes,
and God living in us,
right?
We can't live without it.
We can't live without it. That's,
you know,
an excellent point.
We're kind of like a fish out of water. We flounder. Go from place to place, city to city, town to town, country, whatever it might be, looking for that one thing that brings us peace and hope. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ as that living water, you are going to flounder like that fish. You're going to flip-flop everywhere.
Well, and that's great about a fish like that. When they are out of water and they need that, they're laying on the beach, somebody has caught them and just laid them there, they're struggling trying to get back to the water. They got to have it. You know,
that's what happens to us.
Yes.
We struggle. We think, I don't need this living water. What are people talking about, this living water? I have so many times heard people say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need God. I don't need the Holy Spirit and any of that mishmash.
Yeah.
And I look at them and I say, right now you don't.
Right. But you will.
But let me tell you something. You come back and talk to me when life falls apart for you in a way that you can't deal with.
Exactly.
Talk to me when your dreams and your realizations fall through.
Right.
And you don't know why. I said, come talk to me when you want to live eternally.
Amen. And, you know, I think this is, I love the fact that Jesus stands up and says you're going to have living water on the inside of you, and that water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, because without it, like you just said, physically, we die. We have to have water. We can only go just a few days, right, without physical water.
3 days, and we're out of commission.
Which I think is interesting, too, that three, you know, that's the 3 days that Jesus was in the tomb. I find that fascinating. I love all that kind of stuff.
I know you've heard me say this a dozen times or more. When somebody comes to you or to me and any of God's followers and says, my life is in strife, I don't know what to do, I've got this terrible situation, I've learned to say, wait 3 days. Pray for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good idea.
Three is such a powerful number in Scripture. I said, in 3 days, if you trust, if you believe, if you openly seek the living water of Jesus Christ to fill you, you will have an answer. It may not be the one you want, but you will have an answer.
Oh, that's a good point. But that is, you know, and here in this situation, Jesus is saying, and he told the disciples in advance, clear back at that very moment that he stood up there on the great feast and said, wait a minute, you're going to have living water on the inside of you. The habitation culture is coming your way. He's going to live in you, you know? Whoa, that's cool.
And I have written in my Bible and read under this chapter, Jesus himself will flood over you.
Amen. Amen.
And there's such a peace about that.
Yes, absolutely.
It's such a blessed peace.
When we allow him to come and live on the inside of us, and we allow ourselves to be baptized with his Holy Spirit, really what we're saying is, come and fill me up to overflowing with you, all that is you. Give me your goodness. Give me your strength. Give me your abilities. And all of that, we are submitting ourselves to his lordship in our lives. And we are saying, God, I don't want to live without everything you have for me. So give me all you have for me. I want to do your will in my life. That's what it means when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of surrendering and saying, God, I need that living water on the inside of me. That's what I need. I got to have it.
And it's a way of walking out of the world.
It
when
is.
The world completely
yes.
overwhelms you,
mm-hmm.
you are just a little tiny fish in a big sea,
yeah.
and you get lost because the undercurrent is too strong, and you follow where that undercurrent may take you. It may take you to immorality. It may take you to greed. It may take you to envy. It may take you to hatred. It may take you to ruin of your very physical body.
Right.
And when you allow that to happen because you've gotten caught up in the world,
right.
all you have to do, as simple as it may sound, is get on your knees and say, God, I have made a royal mess out of this wonderful life you have given me. Now, it is obvious I can't live it on my own. I need your help. Fill me with the living water of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
And I promise you, and you know it to be true, when you rise, you will rise a new person.
Absolutely. And don't you think, Carol, that Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, and these disciples that really were so confused on the day of the crucifixion, and then, of course, the 3 days until the resurrection, and then all the 40 days of Jesus walking through the walls and talking to them and teaching them. Don't you think that they gradually began to get it over those few days? And by the time they went into seclusion for the 10 days in the upper room, don't you think their hearts were being worked on by the Holy Spirit to say and cause them to realize that they wanted everything God had for them instead of going back to their old ways, the fishing, the lifestyle, whatever it was, that they wanted to move forward with God in all he wanted for them? Don't you think that was what that was about?
I'm sure it was. You know, you're in mass, 120 people.
Right.
In a room for 10 days.
Right.
Surely there has to be prayer. There has to be prayer aloud. There has to be a spontaneous prayer. There has to be somebody who says, we will overcome because
right.
he overcame.
Exactly.
He is our overcomer. And we, you know, and then they began to listen and to hear in their own hearts what he is saying to each of them in their own hearts. 120 people didn't get the same message.
Right. And don't you think that there were those times during that 120 waiting waiting for 10 days, that they there were outbursts of people standing and praying, or people just pouring their hearts out to God. Or maybe over in a corner, there's somebody repenting of all the ways that they have not trusted God. Maybe there's somebody in another corner repenting of sin in their life that they need to be cleaned out of so that they can receive what God is going to bring them. I think it was a wild, wonderful prayer meeting for 10 days. That's what I think.
Don't you know it had to be a laying on of hands of people around one
Probably,
person?
Probably, yeah.
Struggling and openly struggling and crying out and crying to Jesus. Don't
yes.
you know that others walked up and touched and prayed?
Yes. Oh, I do know.
They did. You know, there was strength in that room in prayer.
They were.
And yet each
yes.
individual heart was being touched in an individual way.
It was being touched, and I think God, the word that I'm hearing right now, Carol, is it was being prepared. Prepared for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for them to be totally inundated with the power of God in their lives. You know, when you dive, you were quite a swimmer, weren't you?
I did pretty good.
Okay, so let's say that you are up on a high dive and you're looking down in this big pool. And now for somebody like me who is not a high diver at all. Okay, not me. I would be standing up there going, golly, I'm not sure about this. You know what? I think that I'm just going to go back down this ladder and not jump into that water. Okay? And because I don't know, you know, I can't do this dive, or I might just jump off, you know, instead of like dive in, because yeah. I'm not a diver. But somebody like you, or somebody that has, you know, been a diver, you get up there and you think, you know what, I'm diving and I'm going to try a new flip on this dive, and I'm going to go for it, and it's going to be beautiful. And you know, you just, with courage, you dive into that water. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And you know, courage is a very lonely word, actually. And you know, for people who have been touched by the Holy Spirit,
right.
to go out and do whatever the gift is that the
right.
gift of the Holy Spirit is to them, it takes a lot of courage.
It takes
to go
courage.
Do that. It takes courage to walk out of a church and say to someone who's passing on the street, "Oh, I've just stepped out for a moment. Would you like to come in?" It takes courage for people to realize that when God touches them with the Holy Spirit, that they then are empowered.
Amen.
They don't notice their empowerment. They don't quite believe in their empowerment. But when you do, you boldly step to the throne. You
Amen.
Boldly step to the throne.
Woo! Oh, boy. We've got a lot to talk about in this next hour, Carol. This is fantastic stuff. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Carol, stay with us.
Okay.
We have a prayer team that can pray for you standing by 24/7, 365. It's a fantastic prayer team. It was started about 4 years ago by, maybe 3 years ago, by Alice, one of our radio team members. And it was a burden in her heart. And it's been incredible, hasn't it, Carol? What happens in that prayer team?
Oh, definitely. The prayer team is just outstanding. I mean, I get requests all the time in the Georgia area, and not even in the Georgia area, but people that know me will email me or email Maxine, who's the webmaster, and say, "Please put this on the prayer line," because the reputation for that Beacon of Hope prayer
yes.
is very outstanding. And people in other denominations, other states, other circumstances, situations, know that that prayer team is earnestly, honestly praying for them. And those requests go out immediately, and they're right there in front of you. I know that there have been times when we've gotten a prayer from somebody, maybe from Texas, and it's come through. And Deb has slapped it up online there. And, man, maybe at the very moment that person's going through surgery.
Right. Exactly.
And everybody on that prayer team that, you know, that has a moment to take the time will pray for that individual. We have seen so many changes and so many miracles at Beacon of Hope because of the power of prayer and because of it's a Holy Spirit church.
Amen.
Where we Woo. Evangelize, where we reproduce ourselves in many different ways, where we
right.
change people's lives and places and things, where we actually, through God turn the world upside down against Satan.
Woo! Amen. Boy, that's a great segue. Let's do station ID and we'll come right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
And we do welcome all those extra stations that are now a part of this group that hear this show live every Sunday. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is Beacon of Hope Ministry, a global ministry, and it is our radio outreach. As I said a few moments ago, we're in our fifth year. We're excited about what God is doing through this radio ministry. I have a radio team of 9 members now, Carol. There are 9 of you. And with me, that makes 10. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah.
It's a ministry that's growing. It's a ministry that people are called to do.
Thank you, Bill.
For people who have been touched by the Holy Spirit to be bold and step out in this particular way through radio and media to do it.
Right. And
I have something I have to say at this very moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just laid on my heart to
go
ask
ahead.
This. God wants to know. Through me, he's asking if anybody out there has the financial resources or the knowledge to somehow get this radio station program on syndication, please contact webmaster at Beacon of Hope Ministries or pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. God is telling me somebody out there wants to do this.
Praise God. And I agree with that. We have been contacted in the last few months about some different outreach, different places, but syndication is really what we would like to do. And we have no clue how to go about that. So thank you for mentioning that, Carol. And yes, they can contact webmaster at beaconofhopeministries.com or me personally. You can reach me, pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. Great point, because we do want to expand this ministry. And while we were talking about that, this is show number 218, Carol. Can you believe it? It just seems impossible.
I can't believe it's been on 5 years.
It's impossible
for me to believe.
We're in our fifth year.
It seems like yesterday.
I know it. It's just, and it was. I mean, it just, as time has gone by so quickly, but you know, as I said earlier at the top of the hour, it is such a joy to be on the air every Sunday. It never gets old. I look forward to it every week, and I'm on almost every single time unless I have to be out of town for a speaking engagement or grandkids or something like that. But I just love it. I look forward to it. And Carol, I want to go back. Well, let's go back to the prayer ministry a minute. But before we do that, people can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and give a financial donation on PayPal, and it will go for the payment every week of this 2-hour show. So you can be involved, any of you out there, by just going to PayPal on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and get involved, because you're planting in good soil, because we are simply delivering the Word of God in a practical, down-to-earth way, week after week, and getting people saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, and all that. And that's what it's all about. Woo! So,
amen.
Carol, back to the prayer thing. Why would people need to have an association with a prayer line, even if, let's say, that they're not in our area and don't come to the church, Beacon of Hope? But they don't have to in order to be a part of the prayer team, correct?
That's correct. And if God has laid on someone's heart to be a prayer warrior for some reason, some state, wherever they may be, and if he's just been laying it on your heart to be a prayer warrior and you don't know how or where to start, if you'll just send an information email to Pastor Beacon of Hope Ministries or the website at
prayers at Beacon of Hope,
and say, I want to be part of the team.
Right.
Now, you can live in Illinois, California, Nevada. It does not matter. You can live in England or Japan or wherever you might be, but say, I want to be a part of it.
Yes.
And part of coming to a prayer team is that you are connecting. You are another link in faith building. You are another link in listening and obeying the Holy Spirit, and you are another link in people that will become your friends over the line.
Amen.
You know, it's not a Facebook application. It's nothing like that.
No.
It is simply you desire to pray for other people.
Prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Send your request there, and also send a request that you want to be on the prayer team if that's what you want to do.
Well, I tell you what, that list grows every time.
Every time, doesn't it?
It's growing by leaps and bounds. And I know personally that a couple of our friends that are pastors are on that team.
Exactly. We've got pastors. Right.
They are on the team because they chose to be.
We've got pastors from different states that are on that now.
Yes.
All right. Listen to this song, Carol, and then we're going to go back and talk here out of Acts chapter 3. Debbie Selby singing River of My Life, another one of my favorites. Praise God. I love that song, River of My Life. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. In Acts chapter 2, Carol, when we were seeing that on the day of Pentecost, the tongues of fire fell on these 120, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, it changed Peter from someone who had denied Jesus and had struggled emotionally and had, you know, a lot of fears and things like a lot of us do, into this powerful, anointed speaker. And Jesus' words in Acts 1 came true because Peter was turned into a man of power, and he went about being a witness for Jesus everywhere. And he stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached a sermon where he reminded people that God promised to send the Holy Spirit back in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 32. Peter stood up and quoted that, and he said that remember what God said in Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit on every yes. kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, your daughters, yes. all this. Peter preached this sermon, Carol. He was transformed into this mighty man of God when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He stood and preached a sermon, and 3,000 people were saved that day.
Yeah. And I'm reminded of early on in Peter's life when Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church.
Right, yeah.
I'm not sure Peter began to understand that until Pentecost.
Probably not.
He was a chosen man of God.
Right.
To carry out on earth the things that his heavenly Father had ordained him to do many, many long years before he was even a fisherman.
Well, yeah, and, you know, shortly after the resurrection, that day on the beach, Peter and his companions had gone back to fishing. You know, they were out there fishing, not catching anything.
Well, they figured they'd done their job, and it was all they could do, and it was all they knew, basically. You know, your leader is gone. What do you do?
But then during those 40 days that we've been talking about during this show, Jesus began to appear and talk to them about the kingdom of God and his plans for their lives. So now we find Peter in Acts 2 preaching this powerful sermon, and he calls a spade in that he says, wait a minute, here's what you did. You killed Jesus. He's really the Messiah, the Son of God. But he didn't stay dead. He is the resurrected Lord. And in Acts 2, you can read that on your own later, he is just telling them, this is what you need. And I want to go to Acts 2, starting with verse 38. Because the people cried out, what should we do? What should we do? You know, they were just appalled that they were a part of that crucifixion, you know. And Peter said, change your life. This is Acts 2, 38. Turn to God and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins are forgiven. That's that first baptism. That's the water baptism. That's yep. for the repentance of sin. And then the next sentence says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now Peter's saying, don't just get saved from your sins, but take it a next step further. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is targeted to you and your children, but also to all who are far away, whomever, in fact, our Master God invites. And then he goes on to teach them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it says they committed themselves, in verse 42, to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal. They lived in wonderful harmony. They sold whatever they owned and pooled it. They had a daily discipline of worship. They celebrated with meals together. In general, they were joyful, praising God, and their number grew every day, those that were being saved and converted and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is a huge wow.
It is a very big wow. I'd like to flip back for just a second to verse 40, though.
Okay.
When it says, with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We can
yeah.
say that today to people who are living in the world
mm-hmm.
and who have no regard for anything spiritual or anything to do with Jesus or God or the Holy Spirit.
Right.
This is a generation that's going to be lost. It is lost. It's a generation, all of us old-timers, we know, we've learned through wisdom of life, that we cannot continue to struggle and knock our head against the wall, but we can live victoriously through
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Woo.
For those of us that are out preaching the Word and teaching the Word and inviting people to hear the Word and living the Word so that they see it live in us.
Yes.
This is the lost generation that we're talking to. It's a generation that is confused. It's a generation that's corrupt. Look at how much we have taken God out of everything that we do, even here in the United States.
Oh, I know.
It has been removed and removed and removed. And the day will come when the very rocks will call out his name, when the sun turns black and the moon is red as blood.
Yeah.
That they will be screaming his name.
Right. And until
and
that day,
too late if they don't
that's right.
give their lives over to him now. We need to tell people, and I think this is what Peter was saying,
yeah.
step out of your lives.
Yes.
Step out of your life and join in the wonderful life of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Let him be your guide. Associate with people of like kind.
Right.
People who are God-filled and Spirit-filled. And, you know, you've made this quote a long, long time ago, and I have it in my Bible. It says, it's not what you've been, it's what you become.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think this is what he's saying to us here.
Right.
It's not what you've been.
No, and it's time to change.
You know, God says, okay, so you were the town drunk, and you sat by the gate, and you begged for alms, even though you may have had no malady.
Yeah.
Maybe you were the person who lived in a sinful relationship with another man's wife or another woman's husband or whatever it might have been at that time. He says, step out of what you were.
Yes.
And become who you can be.
Amen.
One was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles.
Right.
All the believers were together and had everything in common.
Isn't that cool?
Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I know that there are a lot of bad connotations to communes and all of that kind of stuff.
Right, because it's been abused, you know, like Jim Jones and all that stuff.
We
you
do,
know?
Like verse 45 says,
right.
Sell the possessions and goods and gave to everyone who had need. We have our homes right now filled with so many things that we don't earnestly need anymore.
Right, yeah. It's time to share.
And there are people
yes.
who are struggling and who have nothing.
Right.
And every time we give away something, it's a wonderful blessing to us. And when you're giving it away in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, and you're also giving the person the visual Jesus, it makes a big difference. Their lives are changed, and yours is enhanced.
Well, it's talking about giving of yourself, and that is really what happens. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, your priorities change, your life changes, you begin to see there's more than just your little four walls, and you begin to want to do what God wants you to do. Carol, you know my son Ryan, and I, you know how much I love him, my oldest son. Well, I love all my kids, but Ryan is, he's an agronomist for a seed company up in Indiana. And it's a large company, a tri-state company. It's growing. And he told me yesterday on the phone, Carol, that the owner of the company met with him on Friday and said, and it's a Christian company. The owners are Christians. And Sonny Beck and his son, Scott Beck. And they met with Ryan and they said, we have been approached to go to Africa and start teaching the natives how to do these seed blendings and whatever to grow their crops.
Uh-huh.
And we want to reach out and give to a nation that needs the expertise that we have. And we've been so blessed. And they said, we want you to head up that project.
Oh, my goodness. What an honor.
And I forgot to tell you that earlier when we were talking on the phone.
It's a perfect time to tell me now. It's an honor
it
to
is.
Do that. And you know, the need is there. Africa is one of those countries
yes.
that has so many needs.
Oh.
And all of the needs fall under one title. They need God.
They need God. They need food, all of that. And my son was telling me yesterday, and he's so excited that that's going to be in addition to his other responsibilities. But he said that, you know, I'm going to be able to teach them. Some of it will be by Skype, you know,
yes.
and some of it will be in person. And I said, well, when you go in person, remember your mom. I want to go with you, you know.
That's right. You want to see that safari.
I want to do that thing, you know.
Oh. He may run into one of my cousins.
Oh, yeah?
My cousin's husband is the go-to person. And he lives in Minnesota, and he does the same type thing that Ryan does, but his is with water.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he has invented several different water techniques and, I don't know, all the filters or whatever, machines or whatever.
Cool.
And he's been in Africa for quite some time now, about the last 2 years, on and off, setting up all the different water channels, so they will run into each other.
How about that? And
eventually,
you know, really,
and you see, not only is my cousin's husband taking water, he's providing a living water for those people by
exactly.
his testimony and his life and his desire to be down there and do God's work in
exactly.
a country that so desperately needs to know God, that needs a living water, that needs to be fed.
Amen.
And Ryan will feed them. He will teach them to plant the seed, and he'll also take the seed of Jesus Christ down there.
Praise God. We just agree on that right now. And, you know, that is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about, Carol, is getting out of our comfort zone. And really, that's what Peter was saying when he stood up there on the day of Pentecost after they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and he preached that powerful sermon. He's basically saying, okay, change your thinking. You know, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the resurrected Lord. He's in heaven. And now you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and you can do exploits for God. And And this is what we're talking about here. You said before we went to our 5 o'clock break that the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you to do.
Yes,
and I totally agree with that, because that's what Jesus said to them. He said, wait here until you receive the power, the dunamis. And that word in the Greek means the mighty power, the dynamite keg, you know, that you're going to have on the inside of you. And he said, then you'll be my witnesses after you have that. That's what it's all about, Carol.
Well, it gives you courage.
Yes.
And so Jesus doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called.
Uh-huh. That's the truth.
I mean, you can sit, just imagine Ryan sitting there going, oh, Mom, what an awesome responsibility. Jiminy Crickets, I've got to really put this together. But Jesus has already taken care of it.
Amen.
He will empower him with everything that he needs to
yes.
do the work that
yes.
he needs to be. That needs to be done down there.
Absolutely, he
and,
will.
And knowing Ryan, it won't be for his glory. It'll all be for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Ryan's not like that.
The mission field he has, mercy.
Right. Look at this, yep. and look what God is doing now. And so often, God will take you, dear listener, out of your comfort zone, out of your places of frustration, inadequacy, fear. Maybe times where you have failed and you just can't seem to get it together. And God will take those places in you and put them all together when you allow him to do that.
And when he fills your desires in ways
yes.
that you never could ever believe possible.
Oh, yes.
You know, some people desire fine jewelry, a lot of it, and precious stones. Sometimes when you have those desires, or when you have desires of the flesh, or whatever your desire might be, maybe your desire is to own the biggest boat company in the world, and you get there and you achieve that, and it's like, oh, well, this wasn't what I thought it was going to end up being.
Yeah, exactly.
What God does is he changes your desires.
That's right.
I mean, honestly, I can look at a television when they've got one of those home shows on, and the jewelry and stuff, and almost gag. I think, look at the time and the waste and the money that could go. If I were inclined to purchase that, I could take that same money and I could buy a heifer at the Heifer Project. I could buy a flock of chickens. I could buy a cage of rabbits. And I can feed the multitudes of people in other countries.
Right.
Giving them, you know, the gift that he's given me, giving it to them.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about here with this power. Listen to this Natalie Grant Winona song, Bring It All Together. It's a wild song.
That you can't go on, 'cause you had it all and watched it fall away. You feel betrayed, 'cause everything's gone wrong. Can't find the strength to hope for a better day. We may not understand the reason. Take your pain, he's gonna take your doubt, yeah, he's gonna bring it all together, bring it all together, gonna make you happy, he's gonna make you laugh out loud, yeah, he's gonna bring it all together, bring can. Wondering if the struggle means anything. If you realize that it's in his hands, you'll find the peace that sweet surrender brings. Well, we may not understand the reason. Well, I will never change. He's gonna take your pain. He's gonna take your doubt. He's gonna bring it all together. Bring it all together. Gonna make you happy.
love that. Bring it all together. Give it to him. Your pain, your doubt, your frustration. He's going to make you laugh out loud. Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Carol, that is one of my favorite songs. That is a wild song, but I love the words. He brings it all together and gives you purpose for your life.
Yes, indeed so. He definitely does that. You've just got to be, first of all, you have to be tuned in to him.
Yeah.
Because speaking to everybody throughout their days, if their ears are closed, if their spiritual ear is closed, they will not hear it.
Right.
But when their spiritual ear is open, they will hear every message he has for them. And they can't help but turn to him. Because what people call circumstances and coincidental, there's no such thing.
Right.
It's all God-centered and God-based.
Mm-hmm. God's timing. Back to that point that we started with, that it's all about God's perfect timing. Let's talk about that for a minute in Acts 3. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which was the hour of prayer. Interesting, that is exactly the hour that Jesus died on the cross. 3 o'clock yes. in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way, Acts 3, verse 1, up into the temple for prayer meeting. Now, here again is God's divine timing. At that same time, there was a man crippled from birth, being carried up. Every day, he was set down in the temple gate, the one named Beautiful. I like that's the gate they set him at, because there were several gates.
Yeah.
Beautiful. To beg from those going into the temple. You know what? It's a beautiful thing what happened to this beggar, because when he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. And Peter, with John at his side, looked at him straight in the eye, and he said, "Look here." And he looked up, expecting to get something from them. Praise God. People, we need to come to our place of worship, wherever you attend your place of worship, expecting to get something from God. Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Whoa, walk. He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and his ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. Then he went into the temple, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who had sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful, and they rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. And he threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. And then it goes on, because Peter and John got thrown in jail over this whole situation because they dared to utter the name of Jesus, and they dared to heal this man who need to be healed. Whoa.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing when people walk past and don't see somebody. You know, I've never quite understood that. I used to be, I know you don't believe this, but I was terribly shy.
Really? No, that's hard for me to believe.
Walk past somebody and say hello, I would just kind of nod.
Really?
Old Southern tradition of just kind of nodding.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, I became bold in Christ.
Yeah.
And Maxine and I approach everybody. If we're in the hospital,
well,
we approach everybody just to say a kind word to them, or
right.
to alleviate their fears. If we're on the street, we nod and speak to everybody. In Atlanta, that's really kind of taking your life in your hands at times. But there's one man that sits out the gate at the where we go to Phillips Arena to the basketball games for women. And he sits there, and Atlanta is really harsh on people who sit and ask for anything on the streets.
Right.
And this guy's always there. He's kind of, he's a very tall, thin black man, and he just kind of sits there, and he's got a drink cup in his hand, and he's got a few coins, and it might rattle. I've made it a mission of mine to walk up to him each time and give him something. And I know the police officers look at me like I shouldn't be doing that, but I don't know but what I'm passing Jesus.
Right, you don't know.
You know, I don't know, and I don't want
or
to pass
an angel.
Jesus by. And
right.
then when he calls me to heaven and I'm there and he says, "Oh, Carol, honey, let's talk. Remember I sat at that gate."
Right.
"And you passed me by."
Right.
You see, this man didn't get passed by. While Peter and them had no money to give him, they gave him what they did have, which was the power of Jesus.
Amen.
to heal him, to touch him. And that leads us really to some of the spiritual gifts, because there are people have that power.
Absolutely. In fact, Carol, that you didn't know that I am teaching that series right now on Wednesday night. And I'm teaching on the spiritual gifts. And this week I start the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Pastor Jim, my associate, is going to be helping me with that. And we are going to really talk about this whole thing of stepping out in faith and using the gift of faith that a lot of people have that the Holy Spirit has given them. That's what you see here in this story with Peter. Yeah. Peter looks at the man, and I think suddenly on the inside of him, he knew that God wanted to heal him. And immediately he knew what to do. And I think that because it happens to me this way, so I'm thinking maybe it happened to Peter like this. Immediately he could see in his mind's eye, but let's call that your spirit. He could see in his spirit this man standing and jumping and praising God. And as a result of that, Peter boldly said, "Look at me, stand up." Basically what he said to him, "I don't have that, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. Peter was a part of that miracle, and the man was a part of that miracle, because suddenly faith rose on the inside of that crippled man. And he was more than 40 years old.
Look what Peter gave him, something far more valuable than any alms he could have ever received.
Right.
He gave him life.
He gave him life.
A whole life, a whole body.
It says later on in that chapter, he had been lame from birth, and he was over 40 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my. He had always been that way.
And look at all the people that had passed him.
Yes.
All the people that had passed him. Some gave, some didn't.
Right.
And that's what happens today. You know, I know that I have entertained angels unaware.
Right.
I have the times written down. I know when I entertained angels unaware.
Right.
And it was, and I've been entertained by angels.
Sure.
You know. And so when I see somebody in need like that, I find it difficult to pass them by. And I'm not the one to judge whether it's a sham or not.
Right. That's right.
You know, and when I hand out stuff to this gentleman, you know, and sometimes it'll be that I pick up a cup of coffee walking out on the night that's real cool.
Right.
And I just pick up a cup of coffee and walk out, and I'll come to him. And he calls me a certain name, and he will say, "Thank you so much." And I said, "You're more than welcome." And I said, "With this goes all the blessings of Jesus Christ."
Amen. And that's
what
you're doing.
Rise a new man.
Yes.
Put your alms cup down and rise a new man in the word of Jesus Christ. And he always thanks me. And one day when I went past him one night, he said, as I was walking, he said, "You know, I am spiritual." And I turned back and I walked back and I said, "Give me your hand." So he took his right hand and I put it in mine and I said, "Blessed be you who are called by Jesus to get up and minister the way only you can minister."
Praise God. And that's what it's all about. And that's what happened when the disciples received the Holy Spirit. They were able to witness. And like this was a huge witness to everybody around when Peter boldly said, "Rise up and walk."
Well, I tell you what, you've just got to know in your heart that Jesus makes differences and changes in our lives.
Amen.
He wants the very best for us. Sometimes we have to go through a season of angst, disappointment, painful things.
I agree.
Physical things, loss of things,
right,
in order to find who we really are.
Absolutely.
And our sole goal in life should be to seek to find who we are. And T.D. Jakes' book, Maximize the Moment.
Okay.
Says maximize each and every moment of your life from here on out. Don't let anyone or anything deter you from your purpose.
Woo.
As I've tried to help see you through these pages, evaluate your relationships, your career, your choices, but hold fast to the vision of yourself crossing the finish line, knowing that you have run the race with the bold integrity of who you are.
Ooh.
The race is against yourself to be who our Creator has made you to be.
Amen.
Embrace this journey with the total passion of your heart, mind, and soul. And persevere, my friend, and may the Lord Jesus bless you in all of your endeavors as you stretch and strain, sprint and crawl, laugh and cry toward the final destination that He has set for you.
Ooh, that is so good. I love T.D. Jakes.
Maximize these moments and make the very best of your life. See, we can only do that when we have a right relationship with Jesus.
And I really believe when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we do become the witnesses everywhere. And God does open doors of opportunity for us that he doesn't do for just everybody. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're very aware that the power keg lives on the inside of you. And that God has a job for you to do today, whatever it might be.
In our naturalness, we can't do much of anything.
Right.
We don't have the power to do anything. We like to delude ourselves into thinking we do.
Right.
But earnestly, we don't. The power comes when we say, God, give me the power to change the life of someone else as
Amen.
You have changed mine.
Amen.
That doesn't come from us.
Yes, that's exactly right.
We are the vessel that he fills up with all of his spirit, his knowledge, his love, his wisdom, all of that, and then we can pour it out as he designates for us to go.
Absolutely.
That's what you do each and every Sunday and Wednesday.
Yep, that's exactly right. And we just wait
vessel.
On God.
You're empty till you get there.
That's right.
You know, like we start this show, it's an empty show from the standpoint of we're just empty vessels waiting to say, we have scripture, but we're waiting to say, okay, what do you want us to do? And you and I always pray, give us the wisdom, give us the words, give us the strength and the courage to boldly.
Well, I just said to you yesterday as we talked on the phone, I said, okay, it's going to be Acts chapters 1 through 4. I have no idea where. We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and this is what has resulted because of the willingness from both of us and all of our radio team to just flow in the Holy Spirit and let God speak through us. Because, Carol, we know there are people out there listening either today live or on down the road, and maybe for years down the road, that are going to be blessed by our stories, be blessed by the Word of God, and learn from our experience. And it is, thankfully, because of technology to now, preserved for eons, you know, all of the Word of God that is being spoken and taught. And we're just the vessel. We're just the conduit.
It never grows old.
It doesn't,
so
does it?
Somebody wanted to go back on the radio station.
No, doesn't.
5 years, you know, on the website where we have all the programs, the previous programs put up.
Yeah.
And they wanted to go back 5 years ago and listen to a sermon or this radio program that we do each week. All they have to do is go there because it is preserved.
It is preserved.
The Word of God is preserved.
Praise
God.
The
purpose of God is never outgrown.
Right. Praise God. So what it is God is looking for willing, obedient vessels who will say, yes, Lord, fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me with your Spirit and fill me to overflowing so I can be that witness out there, no matter where it is that you put me, in what opportunity, at work, in my family, in, you know, in the grocery store, in the shopping center, wherever I am, if you open a door of opportunity, God, and you want me to minister to somebody or pray for them silently and never say a word to them, God, I am willing to do what you would have me do. That's what he's looking for, Carol. He's looking
exactly.
for willing vessels.
And, you know, one of the premises of education is each one teach one.
That's right.
And look at 120 in that room.
Woo! Amen.
If each one of them taught somebody else, look how far it's still going on. Each one from back that period of time at Pentecost is taught one, and that one taught one, and it has come down to where you and I are in the world today.
2,000 years later.
By one such as he.
Well, you know, in that first week after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, over 10,000 people were saved and turned around just in the first week. So
I'd love to see that now.
Oh,
I would get thrilled to see that happen in our nation, in our world today, that 10,000 were there to be saved and to scream it to the heavens and to just run like chariots of fire to take that message to the next 10,000.
Exactly.
The next 1,000, whatever.
That's what it's all about, Carol. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does for us. Dear listener, that's what it's all about. God wants to come on the inside of you and fill you to overflowing with himself and baptize you, just like you diving into a big pool from way up in the air off of a diving board. You diving in and you taking all he has for you and allowing him to immerse you in his blessings, the blessings of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Wow.
You know, you can serve yourself communion at home.
Mm-hmm. True.
I know that there's some religious organizations and think that you can only have a priest do it or a pastor do it or something.
No.
You can take a loaf of bread and a glass of water and you can commune with God.
That's right.
You say to him, I take this piece of bread, this piece of bread that I have sitting on my table, and I'm going to ingest it and believe that it's your body filling me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can take a glass of water and you can say, Jesus, this, I want this living water. I want you inside of me.
Right.
This water is symbolic of life with you. I drink it now because I desire to have a closer relationship with you.
Right.
And we can do those things. And that just brings us closer to God. I mean, how many times have I been a former athlete out playing some sport and just be dying of thirst?
Right.
And, you know, finally find a place that you can get a drink of water. Oh, let me tell you something. It was life-giving and life-fulfilling at that very moment.
But when we get to a point, and I agree with everything you just said, but when we get to a point where we need more of God, you know, that's what this is all about here, Carol. And you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So am I. I have been for, I don't know, 30-some years. When I got to a point in my life where I realized that there had to be more than just salvation, more than just receiving Jesus as my personal Savior, that he became for me, like Peter, John, and all these 120, my Holy Ghost baptizer. When I took those steps up to the front of that large church, and I was in the back row that day, and I said, okay, God, fill me up. Overflow me with your Holy Spirit. My life radically changed from that moment on, Carol, when I said, God, fill me to overflowing with the living water, your Holy Spirit. Fill me up so
you
that I can be a channel.
Row, could you?
No, no. So I could be a channel of blessing to others.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, from that point on, my life changed so drastically. Ended up starting a church, a huge counseling ministry in Indiana, and then all the things that God has done here in Florida. All these things that God has done is a result of that day when I left the back row. And I was even standing there by my sister and my brother-in-law and thinking, oh my gosh, what are they going to think? Because here I am crying like a baby, knowing I need to respond to this invitation to come up to the front and be filled up with the blessings of God and the Holy Spirit. And I did it anyway. I mean, every step from the back of that church, there was like over 500 people there. From the back of that church all the way to the front, I was crying and saying, God, I want everything you have for me. And that's what this is about.
What you're saying is that no matter where you try to go hide or where you try to be insignificant,
right,
where you try not to be noticed, God has chosen to talk to you.
Yeah.
And when that happens,
woo,
through the Holy Spirit, you can't help but respond.
Exactly.
You responded. You know, you were on the back row.
Yep.
It's kind of like, no, don't see me, don't talk to me, don't call me. I love to be in a church where people say that. They go in and they're going, man, I hope he doesn't talk to me. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit here and just be a bump on this log.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, a call will come, you know, to come to the front or for prayer or whatever. And who is the person that gets up and runs down
right
there? The person that sat in the back and said, I want to be insignificant. I don't want to be
that
seen.
Was me.
I want to hide in this cluster of folk.
Carol, that was me in September of 1979.
But you can't hide
from that's what that
when
was me.
He touches you with the Holy Spirit. He has given you a reason and a purpose. And look what your reason and your purpose has been.
And it's because I took that drastic step that day,
yeah,
even though I had not
a
been raised
heart
that way.
Said,
yes.
And Lord, I'll do it.
I'll do it.
You know, I'll do it willingly. I'm not afraid. I stepped boldly into
right
the throne of Jesus.
We're going to play a Clint Brown song, Peace, this old song. This is a wonderful song, Peace, Peace. And if you out there are listening right now and you say, I want that, I want more of God, I want to be filled up to overflowing with God, we're going to minister to you as this song progresses. And let's just play it and we'll just let the Holy Spirit lead us.
Peace, peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweet.
Keep that going, Bill. Let's just keep it quiet. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for right now for every listener. We pray for everyone that is troubled, in distress, confused, and frustrated, sick in their body, sick in their emotions, needs healing in all areas. Lord, we pray for every one of those that are listening to this broadcast now or in the future. And we say to you, receive peace right now. Jesus said that we would receive peace when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that is what happens. So right now, by faith, if you want all that God has for you, reach out right now and take the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. Take His peace in your life and in your mind and in your heart and in your physical body and ask Him to fill you to overflowing right now with Himself. Just boldly say, Holy Spirit, baptize me now with Your presence. Fill me up with all that You would have for me. Give me this peace. Give me the joy of my salvation. Heal my body, heal my mind.
Oh, sweep over my spirit.
Let that be your prayer.
Forever, I pray in fathomless billows of love. Say it with me now, sweep over.
Sing it with him.
Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless.
Hallelujah. God is healing people around around the globe right now. God is healing people. Keep it going, Bill. Let's just keep it there. Just lower it a tiny bit, if you will. Receive the healing that you need, dear one. Some of you are beat up, as I said a little while ago, and I see that in the spirit. God wants to bring healing to your emotions. Some of you have been abused as children. God wants to bring peace to you. Some of you just feel like you're empty and lonely and tired and sick. And God wants to fill you to overflowing right now with His presence. Some of you are sick in body. Take the healing for your body right now. Take it. Take it right now. No matter what it is, migraine headaches, chest pain, pain in your body, aches and pains, liver trouble, I'm seeing all of this right now. Gallbladder issues, digestive issues. Some of you have a hard time walking. Take your peace. Take God's peace right now and take His healing. Take it. It's for you. Just say, God, heal my body, heal my mind, heal my emotions. Take my pain away. Oh, hallelujah.
Sweet.
Praise God.
Forever I pray in fathomless billows of love. Say it with me now, sweep over. Sweep
over my spirit. Forever I pray
in
fathomless billows of love.
Peace.
Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Carol, it is there for our listeners if they want it, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I could see people weeping.
Yes.
And accepting what was being said to them.
Amen.
They've been given the opportunity. They've been awakened.
Yes.
They've been shown that they are worthy.
Right.
And that they are very special and that God does indeed have a work for each of them.
Yes.
If we read Acts 4:12, it says, salvation is found and no one else.
Right.
This is Peter saying this, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.
Amen.
We come to our Father and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for Him to guide our lives, to fill us to overflow, to be the living water that we take into our bodies, to seek Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, and to thank Him.
Amen. And then we give it out. We just give it away.
We're not supposed to keep it.
No.
It is supposed to be each one teach one.
Right.
And when you're filled with it, you give it away. And you bring other people to the understanding that they are worthy.
Amen. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And your life radically changes from this moment on.
In a good way, though. It's peace. My goodness, His peace overflows. Where there's turmoil, He's the peace.
Right. Exactly.
Where there's dissension, He's the decider of right and good.
Exactly. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Carol, it's been a joy and a blessing to have you on today. We miss our dear Nathan, and we speak healing to his body today.
Amen.
And I'm going to do a little wrap up, but thank you, Carol, for being on. God bless you, and we'll talk to you very, very soon.
Take care, and may the Spirit of the living Christ live in everybody that heard this message today.
Praise God. Thank you.
And that I say amen, and I'm gone.
All right. God bless you. We are so glad that you tuned in today, and we ask you to tell somebody about this broadcast and reach out with the good news of living the good life, and it is good news. And it is a good life when we are in the Word of God and we are learning what He has for us to learn. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come to a service at Beacon of Hope. This is the second Sunday on our new schedule, and it is now 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings instead of 11. It was 11 for a long time, but it rushed us so much. We want to let the Holy Spirit move in our services as long as that is. And then a lot of times we have nursing home ministry and other ministries after church. And then, of course, the radio show at 4. So we have moved our service time on Sunday to 10 o'clock. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, if you come down on vacation, come and join us. We're on Almerton, 3700 Almerton. Pretty easy to find, right behind some, it's in a new shopping mall, right behind some great restaurants, Five Guys, Puncheros, and places like that. So we welcome you Sunday mornings at 10. Then, of course, the radio show is on at 4 on Sundays, Tampa time. And on Wednesday, we have a great Bible study prayer meeting night. Every single Wednesday starts with prayer meeting at 6:15 in the sanctuary. We set up tables. You can bring your Bible, your dinner. A lot of people come straight from work. So bring your food, bring your Bible and a notebook and get ready to pray and then enter into Bible study. 6:15 prayer meeting on every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Bible study. And we're always out of there before 8:30. So invite a friend, and it's a great way to learn the Word. And we are studying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so we welcome you to join us this Wednesday night, starting at 6:15 for prayer meeting, 7 o'clock for Bible study. We also, if you will go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, I've written 3 books, And they are all on our website. You can order them from there or from Amazon.com. If you order them from the website, we pay for the shipping and handling. My first one was in 07, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace. And that's an interesting book. You may want to pick that up. The second one is Living Large and Loving It. And it's all about living in the abundance of God and what that means for your daily life. Living Large and Loving It. The third one was written this past year in 2010. When my daughter, Lori, went to minimum security prison in Indiana for drug addiction, she was in a program that she just graduated from. And it's all about getting set free from her years of drug addiction. And that book is Letters to Lori, Little Girl Lost. So you can find those on our website or order them off Amazon.com. It's just a joy to be with you every week. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. My radio team member today that was on was Carol Witcher from Covington, Georgia. And she used to live in our area, but has been up there for a number of years now, but still is an active part of this ministry. Thank you, Carol, for being on. Thank you to each of you that have tuned in today. And it's not far to Jesus. It really isn't. And you can find him so easily. Just speak his name. And we've been in Acts chapters 1-4 today. You can read it and see all the other details. There's a lot there. We'd love to see you or hear from you. You can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Also, you can contact our prayer team with your prayer requests or praise reports, and you can become a part of the prayer team. Very simple, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We will respond to you immediately. God bless you. Have a great week. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, why don't you come to Bible study Wednesday night? God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week at 4 o'clock on this 1340 AM station in Tampa Bay and on the web at tantalk1340.com. Have a great week. God bless you. Know that he loves you so very much. It's not far.